I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Utah Weekly 4. My name is Bo Walker, filling in for Rebecca Kressman. And our guest this week, USO West Region President Bob Kirkjian. How are you doing, Bob? Good to have you on.
Hey, thanks for having me, Bo. It's my pleasure to join you.
Now, the USO, I don't mind telling you, I'm sure people have thoughts in their heads of Bob Hope with his golf club standing on a stage entertaining the troops. Let's start from the beginning, as they say. Give us the history of the USO, you know, their background, their mission. What is the USO, if people don't know?
Yeah, well sure, Bo. And certainly, Bob Hope is an iconic and historic figure in the history of the USO that goes back over 80 years to our founding in February of 1941 as the clouds of war formed in the Pacific. Franklin Roosevelt at the time, saw a need for an organization to support really the morale, welfare, and recreation of our troops, both at home and abroad. And he brought together what was the beginning of the USO. And here we are heading towards 81 years later. And the USO is currently in 17 countries in 250 locations. We deliver programs and services on every continent on Earth with close to 30,000 volunteers and a staff of about 900 people. So it's a pretty incredible organization. And one of my favorite parts about this job is whenever I meet a member of the military or a veteran, I love asking, what's your favorite USO memory? And more often than not, they've got one.
What do they usually say?
Well, it all depends on what era they're from, Bo.
Okay.
If I'm fortunate enough to talk to one from World War II or Korea, what they say is, I remember the USO dances.
Mm.
I remember going into a USO and being part of a USO dance, or I remember Bob Hope. You get that a lot from the veterans of the Vietnam era as well. But more in Vietnam was, I remember being in a USO center and being able to call home or being able to write a letter home. It was that connectivity back to family and back to friends that was so important. And then as you get closer to the modern day, to the first Gulf War and the recently closed out conflicts in that same region, what you hear about is the entertainment, the connectivity, and more internet. Internet was so important in Afghanistan and Iraq, and being able to go in and get on a video chat. Now, all of a sudden, it wasn't writing a letter that took 6 or 8 weeks to get across the Atlantic Ocean or get through the South Pacific back home. It was being able to hit the button and FaceTime or somehow video chat with a loved one back home. So now it was instantaneous. It wasn't an 8-week process to get a letter back home.
Hey, once again, it's that communication piece that was so incredibly important, whether it was being able to use the phone to call home or now, of course, using technology that we have today, be able to talk to their family members via Skype or FaceTime, something of that sort. So, Bob, you're the regional president. Are you a vet yourself?
I am, actually, Bo. I'm a currently serving reservist. I'm a Navy reservist and most recently spent most of 2019 serving in Afghanistan. So I like to say I'm both a customer and an employee of the USO. And that time in Afghanistan really sent home the power of the USO, because I would walk into our Pat Tillman Center at Bagram Airfield, and it was like walking into another world. Because that was a location that was frequently attacked with rockets and mortars, and you walked into the USO and you could just kind of feel the weight of the world come off your shoulders. You'd sink into one of the overstuffed chairs there in a facility that was built to look a little bit like a Swiss ski chalet. Huh? So you know, you think, hey, you're in the middle of Afghanistan. You walk into this facility that was built to look like a ski chalet. So you mentally you're totally taken out of the elements around you. And there's a happy volunteer or staff member there who wants to offer you a cookie or you know, play a game of checkers with you. And you sink into one of those chairs. And I would go there once a week and go to the index file they had of blank cards. cards, blank greeting cards, and then pull out some random cards and write a card to each of my kids once a week, and then go next door to the post office and drop it in the mail. So my kids had a card to them once a week, and that was my detox. And it's tough to describe how important that was unless you were there.
Truly a respite from what they've been doing all week long, to be able to walk in there and, like you said, big cushy chair, be able to have something to eat and kind of let the worries go away. You're regional regional president. What other areas do you serve?
So the West region encompasses, obviously, Utah, but eight other states. So it's all the West Coast, Alaska, all the way through California, Arizona, Nevada, Montana, and Idaho. And we're talking today particularly, and I'm excited to be talking to you and your listeners, because we are really excited that in just a few short weeks, the latest and greatest USO Center is going to open up at Salt Lake City International Airport.
Well, so it's not open yet, correct?
It is not open yet. We are almost there. We've got an enthusiastic group of inaugural volunteers, about 80 of them, that have come out of the community to say we want to support our troops and be there and be that person, handing them the cookie and be that person with a smile on their face when they go through the airport. But we are getting ready in concert with the city council, in concert with Bill Wyatt, the director of the airports there at Salt Lake City, and the airport team. We are getting ready to soft open that facility, hopefully right before Thanksgiving, and catch the rush of holiday military travelers.
That would be fantastic. That's a perfect time for it. Bob, that was not always the case, though. I'm looking at an article here dated January 11th, 2020, from our TV partner, KSL, with Alex Cabrera. And it says, here's the headline, no plans for USO lounge at new Salt Lake City International Airport. And one of the reasons that it says, if we can't gather enough community support to show the USO we want them here, they might reconsider. Apparently, someone reconsidered. How did that happen?
Well, I was in this role approximately 11 days when that article came out. And I did a double take when I saw it and said, well, certainly that cannot be. Because I was at the time, I was a little familiar with the community in Utah and the patriotism and support that I knew existed in the state. And asked myself, how could that be? And I started a conversation at that time with Councilman Rogers and started a conversation with the airport. And we had the beginnings of a plan for a USO, and then COVID hit. And everyone had, you know, higher priorities and other things going on, and everything got put on the back burner. And as we worked our way through the fog of COVID and came out on the other side, we restarted the conversation. And again, thanks to the leadership of Bill Wyatt at the airport and the city council and our great corporate partners like Northrop Grumman, like Adobe, like the governor's office of the Military and Veterans Affairs, we were able to reignite this conversation. And Salt Lake City International was the largest airport in the country without a USO.
Really?
And so it just made sense. Absolutely. Of the 30 largest airports in the country, depending on what list you look at, Salt Lake City comes in at around 19 based on passenger volume, and it was by far the largest without a USO. So it just made sense that was where we needed to have a USO.
It does make sense, and I know that UPS just built a new facility out there, and I think one of the reasons is because we improved our airport as well. And you got to think about it. You know, everything that pretty much heads to the West Coast passes through and hubs in some way, shape, or form through this Salt Lake Airport. I've flown in and out of there. I've flown in and out of the new one recently as well. It's a massive facility, and I'm so glad to hear that we are going to be getting a USO. How many active duty and reserve members do we actually have here in Utah?
So Utah boasts about 32,000 reserve and active duty military members.
Wow.
But remember, that's not all the USO serves. We also, by our congressional charter, calls upon us to serve current members of the military. So that, as you mentioned, those are active duty and reserve members of the military, including the National Guard, and their family members, their dependent family members. So that's spouses. Those are children. So that's an even larger population that we are there to serve. And Bo, I will repeatedly say, and everyone who's ever heard me speak before a group will know that I tell people the real heroes in the military are not the people who wear uniforms and carry weapons. They are the people who carry lunch boxes.
Wow.
And drive the soccer, the AYSO soccer carpools. They are the spouses and the kids who are the true heroes, and we are there to serve them as well.
They're doing the work back home, that's for sure. Now, I'm familiar with Hill Air Force Base. How many other bases or what other installations do we have here in Utah, and where are they?
Well, we actually have a small foothold as a USO at the MEPS Center in Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
Every state has at least one military entrance processing station, and that's where members of the military, regardless of what service you are entering, where members of the military start their time in the military. So it's where you go through your administrative processing, your medical exams, everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to be there from the very first day folks enter the military, all the way through their transition out as part of our Pathfinder Transitions programs. Whether you spend 4 years in the military or 4 years in the military, we're there for you at the end of your service to our country as well. We try to find a job in the civilian world and make that transition. There's also Dugway Proving Ground. We have several military reserve centers that are based throughout the state,
mm-hmm.
As well as National Guard armories. So there's a host of places, but certainly Hill Air Force Base, if you're looking for the largest active duty concentration, it's Hill.
Hill, very good. I love that it says here that what you guys do provide critical support that improves the daily lives of service members and their families. How exactly does the USO do that? Give me an example. What does that look like?
Yeah, and we tailor it to where we are and what's going on with that particular unit. So let me give you some great examples, Bo. If you're a single service member, let's say, you're an 18-year-old newly minted airman at Hill Air Force Base, let's say, and your family's far away. You're at Hill Air Force Base, but you grew up in Alaska, or you're from Mississippi, and you just moved there. You just got out of basic training. You don't know anyone. You don't have a car. You don't have a whole lot of money to spend. The USO has single airman program support for you. It might be a movie night. It might be a pizza night. It might be, hey, we're going to work with some of our partners and get you a free tickets to go see the Utah Jazz.
Mm.
Or we're going to make sure that you have something to do on a Friday night instead of just sitting in your dorm room playing a video game. So we're gonna do our best to get you out and give you that feel of family and home that you might be missing from so far away. Now, let's say you might be a spouse with two children, and dad or mom, for that matter, is deployed in Qatar at Al Udeid Air Base. And, man, that's tough. It is tough to have mom or dad far away when you're a military family.
Mm-hmm.
And so the USO, whether it's through our mobile programs, whether through it's a local center, whether it's through a virtual program delivery, can arrive, again, virtually or in person, and provide engagement programming that's focused on military children, preschool or military children in elementary school. Or we have a program called Team Talk, where we get military teams together and let them share their experiences. And it is an entirely different existence as a military child than it is as a student or a military or as a non-military child, because no one else really understands what it's like to have mom or dad gone and in harm's way for 3 or 6 or 9 months at a time.
So this is truly individualized.
It really is, because not every base is the same. Not every mm-hmm. unit is the same. And we want to make sure that the programs we deliver meet the needs of that base. And not every base has the same makeup
mm-hmm.
of personnel or needs. Some bases have larger junior enlisted populations. Some don't. Some have more transient personnel because of the training nature of the base. Some don't. And at our airport centers, obviously, it's all transient personnel.
Mm-hmm.
So really the programs there are to make sure there's a little bit of a home away from home and an opportunity to get out of the hustle and bustle of an airport. And everything we do is at no cost to our service members and their families. We are not a fee-for-service provider. Everything that we do is underwritten by our generous donors and benefactors. And, you know, we are not a government program. We are not a government agency. We are a 501c3. And what we do is based on the money we were able to raise from our wonderful donors and supporters.
So let's talk about the airport installations, the locations there. What exactly does that look like? Is it kind of like, you know, a Delta lounge for the executives or something? You know, is that kind of the same idea?
So it's great that you mentioned Delta, Bo, because Delta is also one of our largest sponsors. And as you probably know, they're 80% of the air traffic at Salt Lake City International Airport.
Big hub.
So we're thrilled to be someplace where one of our largest corporate sponsors is also. A USO Airport Lounge is a smaller version, in many cases, of a Delta type of Sky Club.
Okay.
There is we call it a canteen. There is a lounge area. There's TV. There's free Wi-Fi. In most lounges, there's a children's area. If you're a military family, traveling with your kids, there are comfortable chairs. There's a rest and relaxation area. It all depends on how much space we have and how big the airport is. But it is intended to be an airline club for members of the military and their dependent family members who are traveling. The only difference is we don't serve any alcohol. But the other big difference is that there's no membership fee. The membership fee is donning the cloth of our nation and serving our country.
Very nice. And it's thinking about that as kind of a lounge type thing. I love the fact that, again, they get to be special, because that's what I always see when I pass that, you know, Delta Sky Miles, you know, lounge. I think, how come I can't get in there? And here's these guys that have served their nations. And again, whether they're coming home or whether or not they're moving on to some other place, they get to go in there for that little respite. I know that the rent at the airport, I've talked to several commercial businesses that have, you know, stores in the new airport. It's got to be extensive. What do you guys pay for rent for that space?
Well, and so that's why I made sure to thank Bill Wyatt, the airport director, and the Salt Lake City City Council, because we get what I call the USO deal at all our airport locations around the nation, and we're in about 40 airports, and we pay $1 a year in rent.
Okay.
So we certainly know that space is much more valuable, but what, you know, what airports around the country and what city councils and counties around the country say, essentially, we recognize that our military and our troops and their families are important too, and we're going to say we're okay without that revenue in recognition of our military.
Wow. And thinking about this new USO Airport Lounge, that's going to be a major thing here. But what's the history of the USO in Utah itself? Obviously, you had to have been here way before this airport lounge is going to open.
So, Bo, it's a great question. As best as I can tell, we've gone back in the history books on this, there has not been a USO in Utah. Amazingly enough, there has not been a USO operation in Utah for at least 50 years.
How is that?
And I would say that if one of your listeners has any information to the contrary, I would love to know. If we have that wrong, I definitely want to know. But I couldn't tell you, but I don't think we've had a facility there since the 60s, at least, and it may be even longer.
My goodness. Wow. I wouldn't have thought that either. That is kind of shocking.
So at one point, the USO, after the Korean War, the USO, for financial purposes, essentially said, hey, to all of the local USOs, you all need to raise your own money and be self-supported.
Okay.
We don't have the money to fund all of you. And at that point, many local USOs, over time, folded. They were not able to be self-sustaining. And so you saw a real ebb of USO activity throughout the country. in some locations, they were able to thrive because they had communities and leadership that were able to continue to raise money and support them. But in other locations, they faded away, sadly. And at this point in the organization's history, we've recombined the organization, and now we're back to being what we call one USO, where we are all one organization again and committed to making sure that wherever our troops are, we are there too.
So once the USO Center at Salt Lake City opens, what are the USO's plans in Salt Lake and the state of Utah?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you asked because we've got some pretty expansive plans for Utah, and we've got some great donors who have indicated they're willing to support us and some wonderful volunteers. And obviously, we welcome both additional support from donors and additional support from volunteers because volunteers are the heart and soul of the organization, and our generous donors are what helps us make it happen, helps us make the USO magic happen, as I like to say. But obviously, we want to create a world-class USO experience at Salt Lake City International, because that's what our troops deserve, and that's what that beautiful new airport deserves as well. And we want to make sure we expand our services and create a USO experience for all our service members at Hill, as well as in the state of Utah. I mean, one of my goals for the region, for all those nine states, is to make sure that every member of the military in all nine states has at least one opportunity a year to engage with the USO. Whether they take it or not, I can't control that. But I want to make sure that everyone has at least one opportunity, that on their base or in their community or somehow in their travels, they have at least one opportunity to engage with the USO once a year. Because the thing that pains me the most is when I meet a member of the military, and it's becoming less and less frequent because we are doing a better and better job of getting out to our military. But when I meet a member of the military, he tells me, yeah, you know, I've never been someplace where there's a USO. Wow. Or I've never experienced the USO before. And I want to create a USO where that is never a storyline that I hear from a member of the military.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you're doing a great job. Again, we're talking to USO West Region President Bob Kirkchen. So you mentioned it before, volunteers and the donors are certainly the heart and soul of this organization. How do we help? If somebody wants to volunteer or make a donation, what do we do?
Now is the time. Let's strike while the iron's hot, Bo, at utah.uso.org. You can donate. You can volunteer. We are still looking for sponsors for the new center at Salt Lake City International. We will not grand open it until probably mid-February once we work out all the kinks. So there's still time for corporate donors and individuals to get their name on the wall. They'll be recognized in the grand opening with the governor's office, with the mayor's office, and all of our other sponsors. So please reach out to us. We would love to hear from you as a volunteer, as a donor. There is nothing more satisfying and getting involved with the USO, seeing the smiles on the faces of our troops, and knowing that you have made a difference.
It sounds like this is a perfect opportunity to be able to attach yourself to this installation at this particular time. So again, you're trying to get it open and functional by Thanksgiving, but the grand opening we're looking at February 2022.
That's the plan.
I love it. All right. Volunteering. So do you have to be a member of the military's family to volunteer, or can anyone volunteer?
Anyone can volunteer as long as you're 18 years or older.
Okay.
And you are willing to give us at least 8 hours a month. We would love to have you. We have volunteers from all walks of life. You do not have to be a veteran or a member of the military. We do not care what your background is, as long as you are interested in putting a smile on your face and welcoming troops to our USO Center or helping us with program delivery out in the field or at Hill Air Force Base. We are happy to have you, and many of our volunteers have been with us for years, if not going on multiple decades, and they will tell you it's one of the best things they do each week.
Bob, I know you've got to be excited about this, and I hope that Salt Lake City and the state of Utah is excited as well. Thanks for being with us. Again, it's utah.uso.org if you want to volunteer or donate. USO's West Region President Bob Kirkchen, thank you so much for spending the time with us on Utah Weekly Forum.
Thank you, Bo.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.